Podlead-um.
All the cycles. All the cycles.
Podcast.
Podlead-um.
Spelled backwards.
Leap. Dumb.
Podcast.
Leap. Dumb.
Pod.
Spelled backwards.
Pod.
Leap. Dumb.
Hey, and welcome to Podlead-um. That's Top Model Podcast, spelled backwards. I'm Lex Basile Price, and what else could it be called?
I'm Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and you've actually been working towards beautytainment this entire cycle.
And I'm JDB Crump, and pretty cool that she named the mascara over it.
And we're, of course, talking about Cycle 21, Episode 15. And I know we've said this every episode, but 15? I've never had to say those words except for in Cycle 15. Finale Part 1, The Last Girl Standing. Fun. Not on correct, you know, thing, but it's
fun. Where's our cadence? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's our cadence? We live and breathe on cadence.
But I've retitled it, The Girl Who Smacks Her Fat Lash.
Of course. I mean, honestly, that should have been the real title.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you want to, you know, tell us your real title, which is the title of sponsor, you can go to the Clixel down below in the show notes to go to Spotify for podcasters.podcasty/money / $$$.
And that's a real website.
Goes directly to my bank account.
And you can sponsor us for us.
That's JW's OnlyFans.
No, every time we make that joke for about 2 months, I get all these DMs about that.
That's my OnlyFans.
There we go. Ruin the horniness around.
Ruin Hannah's inbox, please.
And spread the horniness around is my OnlyFans.
It's just you destroying wheat peanut butter waffles. I hate them.
You this rip them.
Gross.
Then I crush them with my feet, probably. So this celebration huck from Keith was not my cup of tea.
Can we not destroy property in celebration? I know it's weird for me to say that because I'm from Philadelphia, but
it started cute with Will and Lennox's little high five routine on the couch.
Yes.
And then clearly someone hit Will with that pillow because we cut to Will going, "You are too vicious," but very Southerners, "You are too vicious."
I think editors separated it so you think he's talking about Adam.
Yeah.
Who pours Keith a drink. And then pops open a celebratory beer.
Adam only harms himself. Come on now.
Yeah.
That's true. We do every so often see a talking head where he has like the head wound from the overextended flip.
Digital art says, born for this moment and perfect. But it wasn't perfect because it wasn't tense. So I'm sorry.
And if you like last week's Thai retreat of little bags of candy, guess what? Here's a box of chocolates that Lennox very politely requests.
After she's already reaching for it.
But of course, Adam's like, yeah. Like, what am I going to eat all of this? I love that they truly gave up on the Thai retreat thing. What I would love to rank some of our one season things, like how first call out got to participate in the challenge win next episode, and that just went away with Cycle 14. Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that a Thai retreat can truly exist without a Tyra suite. They're paired forever.
Yeah.
Editing makes it seem like Keith's father was struck by lightning and killed.
The way they edit these photos, which is a sad story.
Sure.
And I don't, and we can go over that, but they edit it like a horror movie.
Yes.
To your point, because, and this is truly devastating, and that his father was out of his life. And then came back into his life. And Keith was clearly extremely happy about this. Mm-hmm. And then he got a phone call that the father newly back in his life had passed. Whew, that is rough.
The other rough thing about it, and I'm making an inference, but it seemed like his father came back into his life once he became a football
successful.
Which maybe that's not true. But the way it's said is...
But it was just so clear that Keith was so happy to have the father back. And it was It's not great paired with Adam's less engaging backstory where he was like, I had to give up grad school to come model.
And I'm never going back.
Paused. Paused his secondary education.
Yeah, I'm like, well, those aren't equal editors.
Hey, but along with Tyramail, new sleep paralysis demon just dropped.
What?
No wonder we weren't seeing these.
These are heinous.
It's also just so weird that they're just sitting at a table with a TV on the end of it. Give me back the prize piano, please.
Keith said he was done guessing what's going to happen and then contradicts himself. But I think he should have stuck with the first one because he thinks that the next photo is just going to be one close up eye.
Yep. I see your
Give it
beauty.
To me. Give me the shoot.
Will's little lip quiver in his sad talking head broke me. I think there's also part of Will that realizes, like, he can't win this. There's almost this, like, they aren't living for me in the same way they're living for drunk Adam and sexy Keith.
But there is also a strange, kind of wonderful thing that's happened for Will in that even though this show has treated him poorly, he has still come out of it so much more confident in himself.
That's true.
And with such a brighter picture of what his future is going to be,
yes.
Despite the show's best efforts.
Though I do find it endlessly hilarious that he says, all these people always say, Will, you're such an amazing person. And now I'm starting to believe it. I'm like, all right, humble brag, but
you're so gorgeous.
And I guess now I think so, too.
I do look like Linda Evangelista.
This is the best Tyra has looked H2T.
Absolutely.
So good.
These shoes are cool, too.
Slightly oddly sexy for what's about to happen, but it doesn't matter because she looks amazing.
Tyra needs sleek, black outfits with weird moments in them. Mm-hmm. That is the fun of Tyra. I will say the hair is a lot of hair.
Yeah, but it's been
better. I don't dislike it.
It's been better than it has been recently.
I feel like it's the most hair she's ever had.
It's also the lowest hair she's had in a while. We learn that apparently Tyra hates modeling. She said, never love ya. Passion, who dis? Not modeling.
Passion.
This contradicts everything we've ever read, learned, or the books that I've read.
Because her passion is transformation. Specifically, creating said transformation. And it's so funny that because of who our final four are, she then has to point to Adam as a major transformation, since Lennox and Keith basically
and Will,
didn't get makeovers, and Will barely got one.
And the funniest thing is that the show edits in three tieovers, a word she's now embarrassed to say.
Yeah, because she said,
why this one, Tyra?
She said, I've been able to do tieovers, or what we call makeovers. Tieovers. It makes it seem like tieover was the original word, and that she rebranded as makeover.
And those three examples are Allison, sure.
Uh-huh.
Brittany, sure. And Dawn, because they have to show a dude.
A guy.
It's also, this whole time, though.
I'm shocked they didn't use Corey, because Corey's whole thing.
And he's been in every episode this cycle.
Adam, that this total transformation made him a model.
You gave him hair in two shoots.
It's just so funny to me that she's so mad at her own branded catchphrases now.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny that she's embarrassed by the thing that she's most well known for, besides modeling.
She finally admits that she never went to Harvard University.
Mm-hmm. But we do get a plug for the owner president managed program at Harvard Business School. And I just want to read something from their website.
Please do.
That says, who should attend? That's literally the tab. Ooh. Who should attend? OPM is designed for business owners and founders who meet the following criteria. You or your family hold a significant equity stake in the firm. You have an active operating role in the firm. The business has experienced substantive growth and scale since company inception, and your role covers the scope of chief executive officer, chief operating officer, president, managing director, or executive director of the company. While the curriculum emphasizes entrepreneurial leadership, participants from multi-generational family businesses and long-established companies are also welcome to attend.
I would argue Tyra's not really suited for this program.
No.
Because it's her production company.
Because it sure seems like that program is sort of devoted to propping up those who come from intergenerational wealth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the vibe.
Or also, or like the do-nothings that don't have any experience, so let's give them 3 weeks out of three years or whatever it was.
It's like the characters on Dynasty would go to.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it also seems like you sure are supposed to have a company that already exists when you are attending said program.
Also, they don't, they're not called students in this program. They're called clients.
Yeah. I love the very gentle lie of omission that she said, I went to it over the course of 3 years, making it sound like she attended for 3 years.
Not 3 weeks each year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I just wrote, here we effing go.
I forgot.
It's time.
I forgot.
Except for once, before we really get into it, Tyra gives us a non-Tyra 2 list, except it is still a Tyra 2 list. Because she takes credit for making up Booch, and we will not stand for the Chris erasure.
No. You didn't make up Booch at all. How dare you? Also, I forgot that this is where it came in. I thought this was all next season. I thought me it was too. Gearing up.
Yep.
Me too.
Now, to and be fair, part of it is...
That's what everybody remembers Cycle 22 for.
And part of it is because not all the kinks had been worked out. Because mm-hmm. the amount of ADR over talking about beautytainment and how they've been working towards beautytainment. You fools, you've been doing beautytainment this whole time.
We've taken the entire beauty industry and made it fun and exciting with all of our crazy top model antics.
Antics.
But this is the softest launch ever. This is all but a focus group that we're this about is. To get.
She says, like, well, what was I gonna name it? Of course, Tyra. But not Tyra Beauty.
Yep. I was very confused by that.
And she drops this song that I don't think these contestants ever heard.
This is all post from Story. Story of Smize Cream fame.
Yep.
Now was a good time to watch the video that I discovered.
Oh.
This is a 3-minute long video.
Great.
And it really gives you everything you need to know. Multiple times.
The perfect.
So let's roll the clip.
There was once a little girl with a dream.
What? Dream club?
There was once an awkward, insecure, and unsure girl with a dream. And now I'm sharing that dream with you. Welcome to the future of beauty.
You look so wet.
Tyra Beauty. Where beauty and entertainment collide. Tyra Beauty is not just a cosmetics line. It's a cosmetics experience. Tyra Beauty is all about beauty, ew, business, and badassery.
So many Flixel pics.
Truth. Without makeup, I would have never been a supermodel. Natural beauty is unfair. I mean, just think about it, okay? I don't wake up with naturally sculpted cheekbones. I paint them on. I believe that makeup's the great beauty equalizer. And now, with Tyra Beauty, I am giving you the power to transform what you've got into what you want. And for over 10 years, I've been giving tie-overs, which are dramatic makeovers on America's Next Top Model. People all over the world are coming up to me, and they're like, tie me over, Tyra.
She's so confused.
And now, it's time for me to tie you over. Let's get down to business. 2 years ago, I graduated from Harvard Business School's Owner President Management Executive
you
Education
graduate.
Program.
You can't graduate
so
from
many
a program.
People were like, why the heck did Tyra go back to school? I went to Harvard so I
the could
lead
this
cosmetics
this is student
experience.
Tyra
Beauty is a 100% self-funded startup to give you the power to make your dreams come true. My goal is to help you to become the CEO of your life.
And here we go.
CEO, you sell it. AKA, be your own boss. What does that mean? You can start your own business by selling Tyra Cosmetics. I'm galvanizing a community of entrepreneurs that I call beauty-tainers, who'll sell products by throwing fierce parties at home and online. Think of me as your personal business mentor. Now
I'm
it's
the
time
top
for
of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're going to be an army of beauty-tainers. And every badass beauty business needs its own anthem, right?
Beautiful, no.
Bonafide, badass.
I didn't know
beauty
that's what story
all about
like.
Beauty, business, badassery. I see your beauty. Do you?
And then she just gives him that tired old Tyra mail.
That was incredible. I'll say, I think one of my most toxic traits is that I think the Tyra Beauty song is a bop.
It is. You haven't listened to the lyrics of it, though.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Did she learn at the Harvard program that every business
needs
a theme song?
I hope so. Day one.
That's been
like
her thing.
Like how every ice cream business needs a graphic novel.
Y'all, speaking of, now's the time to say it.
Okay.
If that comes out in 2024, we have to read that.
Oh, of course. We are chained forever to Smize Cream.
But I actually didn't think, y'all, that there would be another Smize Cream thing worth talking about.
Sure.
And here we are with a book.
love our optimism that we're assuming this is actually going to
happen. I don't think it will.
There's character drawings, you tell me.
No.
We've been wrong. We were like, no nationwide
Nationwide shipping.
I heard Will's voice too much, and now I'm Southern.
That's not Southern. Nationwide.
It's on your side.
You're Nation.
Beauty Tainer.
An army of them. Be scared.
That's also a lie. You have to pay $59 to be part of it, and then you aren't even a beauty-tainer until you sell $150 of product. Tyra threatens the contestants and says, "You're going to get a lot of me today."
I wrote, "So you're going to see get a lot of me today," and I said, "Sound like a threat."
And then she says, "We need some more females up in here, and while we're at it, we need some more males too."
It can't be understated how genuinely hilarious it is to present this commercial in this product with three men in the finale.
Uh-huh.
It's truly wild.
It's wild. You know what else was wild? And it took me a realize to see what was going on. Is it not weird and slightly unprofessional? Because they told them someone was coming over, that Keith is in a robe while everyone else is dressed during this.
I didn't even notice.
Did not need to hear more of Keith's thoughts on Mariana.
Why?
Winnie's face does all the storytelling we need when Mariana's screaming next to her.
I did like her little glasses, though.
They were cute.
When did Kari get a blunt bang?
When?
I love that Ben has been away doing some exploration of his personal brand because he comes back so much cooler looking.
Maybe he really hit it in South Korea when they all got to just do whatever.
I think he sang that song and had immediate regrets.
Sure.
Because spoiler alert, they get to just hang out. We learn through Mariana that eliminated contestants just get to hang out at a hotel together or something.
Yeah, no wonder Winnie was like, "Yeah, it was way better when I wasn't in this competition."
They just get to do whatever the fuck they want every day, seemingly.
And now they're going to get to choose who they want to be in their commercial, but also the teams are not going to be even. And also you don't know what the product is before you choose your team.
No. But also, you do have to choose someone holding the unseen product first, even if they are not your first choice.
Yes, because only three of the contestants, all women, have boxes. The first three people to pick are Adam, Keith, and Will, and they clearly said you must pick one of the boxes. And then, spoiler, Lennox just gets handed her box, which means they knew exactly which one they wanted to give to Lennox.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, they definitely assigned a female model contestant a product that they wanted that particular person to model.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
It's so transparent.
Yep. It's so weird.
So, Adam, I'll do the teams and the what they get.
Yeah.
Great.
So, Adam ends up with Kari, Denzel, and Winnie. Chaos. And they got Oops Liner, the best product and name.
Yes.
Yes.
And for sure.
Will gets Team Wine Club, Ivy and Raylia. Sculpt in a Stick, Light in a Stick.
Which Why sounds... does it have two names?
I think it's two products.
And then Lennox gets Ben and Matthew. She just chooses only men. And they get Smack My Fat Lash. Which Tyra, that's the one Tyra's like, this is the name.
This is
it. This is it.
Yeah.
And then Keith.
This is me.
Keith chooses Mariana
over Ivy. He was given the choice and went Mariana over Ivy.
And he gives an explanation of, despite all my multiple bad negative feelings towards her, she's pretty, basically.
She's hot.
And then Shy, with the dumbest named one, Lip Model.
What? Impossible to find. And also, yeah. Not. It sounds like it's a thing, and then you're like, that's not a thing.
Oh.
Yeah, there is no way to find this. I will give the other three this. When you do a Google search for that, it's the only thing that comes up.
Sure.
Ivy is gently bemused to be here. Also, she got a cool gently, outfit.
She's
also
just like, gently, what happened to Romeo?
Gently bemused that anyone is still here. She's like, wow, you guys are still in this.
Huh. I know this sounds silly. She is the only one that I forget was on the show.
Sure. Yes. Well, she was original Wine Club.
Mm-hmm.
They were Floor Club. They were Floor Club before Wine Club moved upstairs.
Before the Tyra Suite existed.
Keith has some very interesting word choices when talking about his family that make it very difficult to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he says that he is in an uncomfortable position with his family.
He does at one point mention that they're living in what he calls the projects.
Mm-hmm.
And what I infer, because I agree with you, that the language surrounding his conversation is very, like, murky on what the exact situation is that similar to Raylia's story and what she expressed, he wants to be able to earn this money and have a career as a model to be able to move family members out of where they are currently living.
It's just strange to me that he chooses this, what feels like purposefully murky, obscuring language.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Keith's whole persona on the show, now that we've gotten to the end, there is this very like politician, used to be in sports, talk to cameras in a certain way kind of feel.
A little media trained.
Makes him very hard to know.
Yes. Yeah.
I think for all the multiple issues that we have with Keith as a contestant on this show, one of the most dire for him in watching this is you just don't get endeared to him at all.
Mm-mm.
No.
Because even Adam, every so often, I'm like, oh, bud. Like, yeah. I'm endeared to him. I'm endeared to Will. There's part
it's
of
nice
me occasionally that's endeared to Lennox.
It's nice to see Adam in this episode be nice to Winnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Winnie claims he's the only nice person
she's ever met, ever.
Also, Raylia claims that Will is her bestest. And that's so cute.
So cute.
Oh. Did anyone else catch the hairstylist blowing on Lennox's hair?
Sure did.
It looked like a hot curler she was
But I've never seen a stylist like hot curl and be like.
Lennox can't feel anything in her hair, though.
just add another secret to Lennox's hair.
Tyra says that she was called a fat cow in a magazine, which then prompted her to say, kiss my fat ass, and then says, it's the same as what I called this mascara. And I said, no, you called it smack my fat lash, not kiss my fat lash.
Yes, it was very famously. We've all seen the clip of her on our talk show wearing the same swimming suit as the paparazzi picture and go through tears, and I'm not making fun of her emotion. I do think she was genuinely
yes.
feeling yeah. some type of way. There's kiss my fat ass. It yeah. like hits it.
But then she said, like, it's just the same. And I'm like, no, but it's not, though.
Also, it makes it sound like it's for your butt.
It's a memorable name, but it's not an experience I would ever want to have.
Also, when you put mascara on, are you thinking like, smack it, smack
Never
it, smack it?
Never in my life. I'm also not like, man, I just wish I had some nice fat lashes.
So.
This lip color on Shy
oh.
is one of the prettiest things we've seen on this cycle. It yeah. is the perfect color for her. There was also some moments where Tyra looked like she was actually putting decent makeup on people.
Well, because it's very simple, right? Because yeah. it's just lip.
Yeah.
I
thought you were starting a sentence. I
No. And also, oh. they're like, we're just doing everything here because once again, we've run out of money to do anything. So we're going to do all the makeup here. Then we're going to take you to a secondary location. And y'all, when they started pulling out the giant boxes filled with mm-hmm. product, Tyra Beauty went into production before Tyra Beauty was ready to go into production.
I'm also sort of flabbergasted by her using entirely self-funded as a positive talking point.
Right?
Because that says to me, I couldn't get anyone to invest.
Yes!
I do like the spin of like a boss. I didn't have any investors.
She also like shades other people. Like they just put their name on things.
It's
and I'm like,
very, I'm not like other celebrity business owners.
But I would argue a lot of people, when they put their actual name on it, are actually doing, like there are very few people that just will throw their name on things.
And here's the thing, Tyra should have, and maybe she did, I can never find much on it. Tyra collabing with a makeup brand is a smart, reasonable idea for who she yeah. is and what she does.
Yeah.
Sephora x Tyra or whatever it would right. be, a palette that's all also, all her funny isms as the names yes. of the colors. Great.
Mm-hmm. That's also, that would have helped, I think.
Sunrise Smize.
Mm-hmm. Please. Oh, Booch blue on my eye.
But I think most people that go into makeup collaborate first because then they learn how the business happens. And yes. I think Tyra's like, well, I wear makeup. I've been wearing makeup. I know makeup. And I'm like, I don't think you knew makeup at all.
I mean, I'll give her that I think she knows makeup production.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we head to Food Capital, a premium food lounge. And my first thought was, in hotel? I don't think it is, but like...
No, it's in the mall.
Sure, but it gave energy of other place in hotel.
Yes.
And no, it's at the Lottie Food Center. And it was designed by Tyra's close personal friend, Kareem Rashid.
What wonderful things to talk about with someone who does not appear on the show at all.
I can't wait. I hope... that JW went to look up Kareem's. I hope we all did, because we all should have a point of reference. Here, I'll share screen. I'll share screen. Kareem Rashid is known as the Prince of Plastic, and he only ever appears wearing white and pink.
Mm-hmm.
He has done concepts for the Taj Mahal that I don't, it's not my taste. He likes doing, this is the
opposite pitch. It is my taste. And I was here for a lot of it.
The
how dare you?
So hold on. I have an envelope that says to open when discussing Kareem. JW would decorate his home in these designs.
Not the envelope prediction the like you're the calendar. Mind mangler.
Yeah, dare. I'm gonna Johnny Carson this. I just, everything to me, my taste, is kind of cheapy, garbagey looking.
So the product design, I think, is he has designed some products that are so familiar that it would not even occur to me that they were designed by a person.
Yes.
Like, sure. I just thought they existed in stores. And if you Google Garbo trash can, you will find a trash can that everybody has seen, everybody bought for their college dorm room. Right. I feel like this trash can was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I found this article discussing his work that pulls quotes about this trash can and what the designer thought about it. In a 2008 Los Angeles Times profile of the Garbo, the designer cooed about how the celebrated can invokes the glamour, elegance, and curves of its Hollywood icon namesake, with the Garbo being, quote, seductively round and wider at the top than at the bottom, and having a, quote, wide, beautiful, inviting mouth to gracefully accept waste.
No!
The handle cutouts positioned above the lower edge of the bin ensure that, quote, a person lifting this basket, even when it's full, would never come in contact with its contents.
Oh, me on a first date, gracefully accepting waste.
I found a transcript of a podcast he was on.
This is what I found.
Okay. Where one the first question they ask him is, when you're at a cocktail party, how do you describe what you do? And his response is, well, first thing, I don't drink cocktails because I don't like mixed. I just drink pure wine or pure vodka.
Pure wine.
And then the other people seem annoyed.
It's
They're
filtered.
Like,
it's filtered wine, pure wine.
And he is a rambler. He just will go on and on, has everything to say about everything, but you never know what he's talking about. It is fascinating.
I want to read, because I think for me, the design itself, a lot of it is these like modern, I think it all has a uniqueness to it.
Yes.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at their stuff, it is uniquely his stuff. And I think that's always good, because some modern design is just like, I can't tell who made this. I
sure.
think you can tell mm-hmm. when Rashid made something. However, and this is less about him. He has about also a million books. A book every year for a long time.
Jesus.
So
he loves to talk. We know he yeah. loves
He
to
loves a pizza party.
Yeah.
But only so, pure cheese or pure vegetables.
So I love when a Wikipedia editor gets fancy.
Ooh.
And under personal life, I was just talking about his marriage to a digital painter named Megan Lang. And there's a sentence that's gorgeous. Grammarly wishes. In 2016, they legally separated, and their divorce was formally concluded in 2018. Formally concluded. I don't know why that tickled me so much. I was just like, the most
so
gorgeous
way. So much to talk
way.
About this person who was
appear.
Never going to be on the show.
No. I do think that he might actually be friends with Tyra because the vibes are similar.
Sure. This food court is very IKEA children's play place to me.
I like some of the color choices. I just generally like this is an aesthetic that appeals to me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think it seemed fun.
And then we get an actual guest that I forgot appeared on this cycle, even though I think in a previous episode we talked about it.
But don't worry, it's not Jordan.
Oh, no. I thought when they were setting it up and she was like, some of the best eyes ever. I was like, Jordan? I guess. And then a drop-dead gorgeous-looking Allison Harvard enters.
Hello.
And it says, as her, Tyron. Model All-Stars.
But that's so wild because she didn't win. And I know, but like,
I think it's because her name is Harvard. And Tyra's like, see?
I think it's because she lives in the Philippines and it was a quick flight.
Which she mentions multiple times.
And this is when we discover, in an effort to raise the stakes on this episode that will do absolutely nothing, that it's midnight and they only have 7 hours to shoot.
This becomes
because
an episode
the mall
of 24.
Opens at 7 a.m.
And also, it makes it seem like this is some like guerrilla filming that they
yeah,
didn't
were
get
they
permission
approved
for.
To be there?
I don't think the permit's cleared.
Nope.
I think Tyra had a key from her friend and she was like, ooh. I love that it starts with 11:50 p.m. And then we get little updates all the time. And this amounts to nothing.
Also, because I thought first, I was like, oh, this is a way to screw over the last person, right? Because
yes,
Tyra
yes,
is
that's exactly
famous.
What I thought.
famous for being bad time manager.
You do kind of screw over the last person anyway, because imagine how much easier it is to go at midnight
than
at 5 a.m.
Well, unless you're Adam, who is energized, and everyone else is tired and stupid.
But none of the time, because we see so many timestamps, we then find out that no one is getting the same amount of time.
Nope.
And no one's styling can start until the previous shot is done, because Tyra is styling them. She's on set coaching them. She's directing it, basically.
Acting sometimes?
Mm-hmm. And someone who they save time on styling was Denzel, because Denzel's beard weave, and yet also just beard and scruff, is gone.
Yep. Maybe that's because Mariana told him to.
I can't believe they fully abandoned this. I can't believe after all that, it's just gone for the actual commercial.
Keith, this time, manages to say chopping block instead of board.
I was proud of him.
Then we get a crazy sentence from Tyra, admiring Keith's outfit, when she says, "It looks like it was made on you."
On you.
Not made for you.
For you.
Made on you.
I would have even accepted it's like you were poured into it.
Sure.
That's a thing we've heard. No.
She then, to describe this product and commercial, the scenario is, we want to see your lips before seeing your... Sorry. We need to see your lips before... you see your face.
I was so confused.
If I know one thing about straight men, if they're attracted to a nice pair of disembodied lips.
They love the opening of Rocky Horror.
Also, Keith becomes immediately a prop in his own commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not even good at it.
No. It starts seeming like Tyra in real time is changing the commercial to not be about Keith.
Yep.
Yep. Here's another question. Do we think that Tyra took a Meisner class before this shoot? Because there is a lot of day one Meisner exercise happening.
Mm-hmm.
When they start saying back and forth, shine, bright, shine, star, don't be shine, you're afar. Uh-huh.
I like the whips. I like the same word, whips to camera. They got me every single time where they're like, oops. Lennox says that Usai finally has just given up on Keith because he's not even yelling anymore. He's just exhausted.
And they tell Keith to dance. This thing, I feel like they were like, dance, because you do that dance that you do.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah, now's your time to do the dance. Yeah.
Woo.
Why didn't you do the dance?
I don't know.
And then Tyra literally trades him out for the two models that he selected to be on his team. Like, not adds them.
Nope.
Removes Keith.
They're also shooting with the fisheye lens from below. And the footage, the little bit that we see, is insane.
Mm-hmm.
When we head to Adam's shoot, one side for your liner, one side for your oops.
I kind of like it. I do.
But what do you think your oops is? Because I don't think it... My immediate reaction is eyeliner. It makes you think like your downstairs area.
Yeah.
Oh, like you made a little fart?
Or like lining your, like, business.
To me, it sounds like liner on one side, perfume on the other to cover up an oops smell.
I'm glad, Hannah, you and I both went fart. Because anytime I fart, y'all will know, because I'll go, oops.
Oops.
I had a roommate in college who was a silent farter, but I always knew when it happened because she would open her desk drawer, pull out something from Bath and Body Works, and spray all around herself, like, before it ever reached me.
I'll neutralize it. Not add to it.
That's so polite yet so obvious. I love that.
Then we get an Allison talk that I think is during Keith's shoot by who is there and who is not.
Mm.
And she was begged to sit with these models. This joining was so unnatural because Ivy's like, oh, hey.
Well, What's Will Ivey, Ben Matthew, Adam Denzel, Kari? What a weird group.
Too many people.
They ask general questions, and Allison has one heck of a weird sentence she says. I think once you find your market, it's good to just branch out. That is opposite advice.
Once you make money, find ways you can't make money.
Yeah. And she doesn't know how to just say, I'm in the Philippines because I got a lot of jobs here.
Right. I mean, maybe what she was trying to say was, like, when you find your market,
to that market,
like, get more specific. Do you know what I mean? Where she, like, realized she was doing really well in Asia, so then she branched out by moving to Asia.
That's just not how I would use branch out. I think a branch out is doing opposite of what you're doing.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. But Will is so overcome to meet a working model who is working.
And also pretty overcome by his hatred of Denzel.
Just when I thought I was safe from this fucking flashback.
I, for one, don't like seeing Denzel. And then I love unself-aware Denzel saying that Will's his boy and that Will will know there's no hard feelings here, but I'll definitely choose either of the straights over Will to win.
Yeah, Denzel, why would you have hard feelings?
Yeah. But then it does not matter. Nothing matters because we get to Will's shoot, which is going to have a reveal that I actually cackled at. Yeah. Because at first I was like, why is he shirtless?
Why?
Just to torture him?
Yes, that's exactly how it felt.
Yes, it sure did.
But then they've decided they did find a way to use this product on Will.
This is the contouring stick that Tyra says isn't like other contouring sticks, because all you have to do is swipe and blend.
I don't contour, but isn't that all of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I also think she underestimates just how much you're going to need to blend.
Woo!
Because this goes on like a Sharpie.
It goes on like a chocolate push-up pop. And then they contour abs onto Will.
How this starts is that they instruct Raelia, who's in the commercial with him, to draw with the contour stick on Will in real time. And that's when I cackled. I was like, is that the end of it? Because all the body dysmorphia stuff we've got for Will, to be in a commercial where your real body is the before,
yes,
is devastating.
And then to say your boom, boom, boom is fixed is disgusting.
And why can't we just contour his face?
He has according to Tyra, who has no cheekbones, but she contours it on. That's Will's face too.
I will say though, it did make it look like he had more defined abs.
Yeah, so
it kind of sold me on the contour stick.
Raelia also looked amazing in this ad,
and yes. Gabe really served some cool moments. She almost looked like a dominatrix who was like contouring
that
Will.
His kink was to get contour.
Contour.
I'll contour you into shape.
Oh yeah. Draw those abs on me, please.
The safe word is a booch.
When Lennox starts hers, we learn that the reason Smack My Fat Lash is special is because the blue side volumes and the black side lengthens, like every fucking mascara.
The blue side volumizes.
And Matthew is portraying volumizing, and Ben is portraying lengthening, because they're in a blue and a black suit.
We also get Matthew's first conspiracy theory. Started right here, that Lennox isn't just some sweet little girl who's never done anything. She's a crazy one who can do anything.
Hey, he's just asking questions, okay, Hannah? He's just asking questions.
He's letting his audience decide.
Lennox also looks amazing on this shoot. And Tyra is way more enthusiastic about her performance than anybody else's.
Well, it's because she's the only one that's wearing the makeup.
Yeah.
Well, but also, Tyra is so overcome by how good Lennox looks in her product that she's trying to sell that she says the nonsense of, "Woo, bitch, go girl." Lennox is on the ground, by the way. Everyone's on the ground.
Yeah.
Matthew and Ben have to do a whole bit where they run in place on their sides on the ground.
Oh my god, look fun.
And then Yusai makes a legitimately funny joke when he says, "Now the floor is clean."
And I loved Matthew and Ben's casual chest bump when they got up and they're like, "Yeah, good job, bro."
They get out on time, which I was shocked by. Now, did a producer offset multiple times be like, "Tyra, you have 2 minutes. You have 2 minutes."
We did hear a lot of those 2 minutes. A lot of 2 minute warnings.
But we then, in the morning, leave the mall and then go to dinner at some date that I think may have happened the first night in Korea. I think this is from way back.
It would make sense because they go to a Korean barbecue place and
looks so delicious.
Oh my god.
Barbecue so much, it looks so good. It's so good.
There's some really great places in New York too.
Yeah, there's one that's just called Love, I think. It's very good. Adam gets drunk. Yeah. Like Will goes back to being in a mockumentary levels. He doesn't, and this is the first time we've really seen rambling, incoherent Adam, it feels like.
Well,
this is like someone's forced retirement party.
Yes.
Where they get too drunk and they say it all and nobody feels like they can interrupt him because it's a sad day.
Yeah.
This soju is being liberally poured. And for people, I think they don't realize how alcoholic, like the alcoholic volume that soju is at.
Yeah.
And Lynette calls Adam out. She was like, he was like, "You know, you need a top model that's not only good at modeling, but also a partier. And Lennox, you may be
uneducated."
Yep.
He sure does.
He gets there and he's like, "Uneducated, blah, blah." She's like, "Are you calling me stupid?" And he's like, "No."
See, this is why I think it takes place literally like their first night or two in Korea.
I just love that she called it out.
Yeah.
What a nasty thing to say to somebody, especially somebody who we've seen their background. She said they could barely afford the gas to get her to the casting call. What a shitty thing to say.
And it's also, it seems just not how Adam's been. This seems really out of character. It's not a great look at all.
It's also a bad look for Winnie because this is where she's like, "I love Adam and Adam should win."
She just wants Wine Club to fail.
Yes.
I think there's a part of him that really deeply resents being called out on the drinking. And he has managed not to show that yet because I think he also knows that he's been drinking too much.
Sure.
Yeah.
But this is where it all comes out.
He's pissed if I want to drink. It's my own personal.
After a long, grueling day of modeling.
That was a little funny that he was like, after a hard day of modeling, I'll come home and drink all I want. Everyone's like, "Yeah, that's exactly what you do."
You do, yeah.
Tyra Mail. Another bad picture.
Yeah.
And I thought they were all the same bad picture.
No, she's wearing slightly different sports jerseys.
Great. And this is reminiscent of when in the overseas location we would get in the language of that particular location, easy breezy beautiful.
Yes.
Well, we get that now kind of.
Well, now it's guess what?
Yeah. Guess what?
Which I actually forgot that Guess was one of the sponsors. I was like,
Yeah.
I think Guess forgot too. Because.
Way less present.
We head to the panel set and Yusai really tries to make us believe that it's because he wants to take a photo on the panel set.
I love the Korean nightlife vibe. What canceled? What got canceled?
They have no money.
Nothing. Paul Marciano is not here.
Nope. We get he.
So he gets, has been in the past.
He was once here. We see Keith touch up his makeup again.
Yusai is going to be the photographer, and I totally forgot about group pile of models. It seems like this was years ago.
It was years ago. We're on episode 15, and we're still not done.
This whole intro is so funny because it's all Yusai talking about famous people who he's close with who aren't here. You know Paul Marciano? I know him. You know Kate Upton? Oh, I know her too.
I just love that we've gotten to the point where we can't even afford Massimo or Eric.
Nope. No, because we have to make it full circle.
Yusai did make his introduction shooting them for Guess. So
I guess
you can justify it, but it just seems so low rent.
Keith is super nervous because for the millionth time, we have to hear the narrative about Keith versus Yusai.
At least
coaches don't do this.
This time he realizes that Yusai doesn't like him. It's finally come through.
And then Will's little arm punch to a nervous Keith's like, yeah, bud.
Yeah.
To give Yusai the tiniest bit of credit, he is basically like this with everyone. If you're doing badly, he yells at you a lot.
He yells at you a lot, yeah.
If this is not specific to Keith at all, he just dislikes Keith the most.
Because Keith's the worst model at this point somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Yusai. Where does Adam not look like a guest model? That's Adam's biggest, like, positive at this point, is that he looks like Guess.
And I'm going to gear up for a rant.
Ooh.
It is so obnoxiously bad to me that we went from on a show where making a joke about pulling a stick out of your butt was something that was worth a handwritten apology that you had to deliver in panel, to now Yusai says that as the first thing to Adam when he comes out to set, and then doubles down by miming it and making a popping noise.
Like a champagne cork, which
so
was also
close
a
to his
choice.
Body.
And Adam, like, reacts to it. He's like, oh, because it's very uncomfortable.
It is. But JW, see, the reason you don't understand it is because before, it wasn't coming from a place of power. Only the person
people
in power
can say whatever they want.
I just wish we could literally
flashback to Melrose.
Flashback.
Or to Carrie D.
Carrie D.
To a tear-stained Carrie D. reading a letter she had to write to Nigel about this. And almost we all thought she was going to get eliminated because of it. And now it's the greeting by the person in power.
Was anyone else confused by, we're going to talk about Lennox's bad hand, but then not talk about it? Like, we're like, oh, bad hands, right? That's the whole thing. And then it's just like, oh, was there no, oh, we're, oh, there's no fix or, oh.
I did think it was funny that he had said to her to speak gently to her hands.
Take your own advice, Yusai.
I do think generally, except for the thing I just talked about, Yusai is actually a lot less abrasive as a photographer.
I really liked, mostly except for Adam, which is very bad, his one-on-one talks with everybody else.
Yeah.
I think when he's actually having to take photos, he's distracted enough that he has to do something.
That he works, yeah.
I love the exchange of between him and Will. Are you nervous? No, you should be. Well, but I trust you. Good answer. And that is a good answer.
The student has become the master.
It was very bad. Because Yusai was ready to rip him to shreds.
Yeah. He's always waiting for the moment, but Will has become so charming to the judges.
Yeah.
I also think it's really funny because each contestant, while they're doing their shoot, is going to have another contestant in Talking Heads say what their strengths and weaknesses are, essentially.
Yeah.
And the only weakness that Adam can come up with for Will is that he's prettier than some of the women.
What a weakness.
Like, that's a bad thing for
too
a
hot
model.
The best Lennox line of the cycle in a Talking Head goes, I still don't think I'm sexy. Sorry. Sorry, Tyra. Where's this Lennox? Where's this Lennox who's
where,
so
why
bad?
Are you throwing your hatred towards Tyra, Lennox?
That would have been the best. And then Keith says, once again, not knowing how to insult someone or how the modeling industry works, that he's sick of seeing Lennox's pictures because she doesn't even look like that in real life.
I don't want to fuck her. Only in her pictures do I like her.
Just like a model is supposed to. We have been
we
told
have
by
told
the
that.
Show over and over and over.
It's infuriating.
And then an actual surprise happens for J.W. Crump when the judges appear, and they're going to have a panel because apparently they've been live watching the monitors and picking out best photos.
Hold on. I need to talk about this.
They or one.
Yeah. Also, this time, the camera was connected to a monitor. Like every single photo shoot ever.
A far away monitor, if you will.
It is so, so shitty. And we've had to say this before about the show, but I'm going to say it again. To tell four people that they're finalists and then be like, oh, sorry, lied. Only three of you are finalists.
And to even say the real three
the
finalists
real
later.
Yes.
Also, I don't think Yusai is that good of an actor. Did he not know this was going to happen?
I don't think so. Because when Tyra comes in, he literally goes, oh, hey, Tyra.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think he would have insisted on helping pick the best photos. I don't think he would have left that in Tyra's hands. Mm.
I mean, he does get them together for like an off-the-cuff group shot that's definitely to get them all out there. So maybe, I don't know. But Will is again so charming because when Tyra comes in and she's like, how's it going? And Will goes, we think it's going well. You tell us.
And then Tyra drops the worst part of this. Hey, by the way, the fans don't see this one, so it's all on us. And then I wrote, this is how we get rid of Lennox?
Yep.
Is the 100%. Fan score?
Mm-hmm. 100%. They had to. Because there was no other way they could have gotten her out.
And then the weirdest thing is they don't let the judges sit down.
No! Why do they have to stand? Because I know why. Because they didn't have a fourth chair because they have no more money. And Yusai would have to just stand off to the side, Brian Boy style.
They were actually borrowing those chairs from university professor offices. And they got caught. Yes.
I just feel so bad for Kelly. Her favorite thing this cycle was that pillow.
Her emotional support pillow.
It's also weird because this is a panel in every other way, but we get talking heads edited in. A thing we've never seen before.
It's so weird. Very strange. So Will is first.
I'm going to say right now, Will's black and white is the only great photo we get this round for me. That looks like an actual Guess ad.
I'll go one further. I like both of Will's. I agree mm-hmm. with you that the black yeah. and white is the superior one, but both of Will's are the two best of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like the color one better. Mostly because I think he's just a little too forward in the neck in the black and white one.
It just really looks like a Guess ad though.
It does look like I think they both look like a Guess ad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His is so good. I honestly thought he was just gonna get first call out because I'm like, well, this is how he survives.
I think if it had been up to Yusai, he would have gotten first call out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get the reveal that his dad wrote him a letter halfway through the competition. Saying how proud he was and that whatever Will was going to do with his life, it was going to be great. And that was so nice. It was such a lovely thing to hear.
It also, because remember when they visited, they said something about getting a note. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's why Will was way more comfortable and was saying things that we didn't see in the edit.
Sure.
Yeah. Because they had already hashed some stuff out.
His dad is also maybe able to say things in writing that he can't say in person.
Very yeah. possible.
And I've had people in my life like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, people were way worse at it, so.
And if you think we're not talking really about the judges, it's because they don't talk a lot and they don't give scores. The scores are going to be mysterious, surprise. And we never actually find out what their actual scores are.
Nope, just collective.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lennox is next. I think the color one is awful.
But she was following direction well.
She was.
Mm-hmm.
I think the black and white one's interesting and it's not given enough credit.
I really love it.
I do too. I don't think it's Guess. Most of that also is the styling doesn't say yes. Guess to me.
It kind of looks like she's wearing a robe or something. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like a. But what are those things you like, stunning. Lex?
Caftan?
Kimonos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, I just hurt. Profile looks amazing. It's just not Guess at all.
And I actually think the black and white one's a little sexy in mm-hmm. a way.
Yeah, I do.
Kelly
too.
Talks some hot nonsense.
Oh my god.
About Lennox's photos. First, the color one is not quite sexy enough. I think it's a little overplayed on the sex part. That's a sentence Kelly says. And then of the profile, she says that she can't see Lennox's face.
We've seen less face from forward-facing shots than
yeah.
this photo.
We're about to, in fact, on one of the Ooh. Other models.
It's also a profile shot. Of course you don't see the other side of her face. That is not Lennox's fault at all. It's, I understand why the color one doesn't work. It's not my favorite by any stretch. But I actually liked the Claudia Schiffer comparison that Tyra does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Claudia Schiffer did it better, but they yeah. have been giving Lennox this feedback over and over again. And her just to finally be like, patow.
And to show thing.
These two together are the most different.
They are the most different.
It reminds me, remember that old like cycle 8, I think it was, where it was like women's magazine, men's magazine.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This yeah. almost gave me those vibes, these two.
I think it's also the combination of the lights and the full denim outfit. There's just something cheap looking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam is next. These are the same picture, but flipped.
Sure are.
In one, his hands are in the pockets. It's showing the versatility of the pocket.
So weird when they're not in the pockets.
It's like he went to put his hands in his pockets and missed and committed to it.
So funny that they've made this big deal about how much he's loosened up when these are two of the stiffest photos.
And he also got the denim tuxedo of Jeremy's days.
I'm not going to say he's not hot. He looks pretty hot in the black and white photo.
In the black and white photo, he looks hot.
Yeah.
He looks fully dead as a mannequin in the other one. And then, is it Tyra or Kelly who says, I think it's Tyra, says, your ethnicity shows in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
What does...
She says, your ethnicity shows... Also the future and reaching more people.
Also the future. The future of your ethnicity.
What does any of that sentence mean? And also, you can tell he's Asian? What is she talking about?
It's such a top model staple, though, to be like, wow, we can finally see that thing you are.
It goes back. Well, it also goes back to Kenya as a Korean woman.
Mm-hmm.
You really see the ethnicity. You're really performing the ethnicity of...
And I then just... Adam says, speaking of nonsense sentences,
ooh,
because again, we're getting talking heads. I can't emphasize enough how weird it is that they're blending together. Adam says, I'm the dark horse coming out of the South. Because you're from the South? Because ever since Elvis, Adam's like, well, now that I'm not drunk and a partier, I guess I'm Southern.
Where am I?
Also, you can't be that Southern. Will is right next to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the problem is we have someone who's been very Southern the entire time.
It's me. I'm from the South. Netherlands.
Keith is next.
The color photo is the worst photo of all of them.
You cannot see half his face, and it's not because it's profile.
Nope.
It's also just not activated.
Nope. Slack is anything.
I think the black and white one is fine.
I have a problem with the black and white one. There is something... I think he has weird proportions, but I also think there's like the tattoos look fake because he either needed to be shirtless or with sleeves. There's something like disconnected about his.
Or if you're going sleeveless, that shirt needs to be shorter.
Maybe.
I think.
I do think just an undershirt. I think he can still go sleeveless. I think the undershirt would have helped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
It would have added some contrast too, because the black and white photo with all this denim, it looks like almost a jumper or a romper or something.
Mm. Yeah. And he's also not activated. And his hairline, it's very high on his head. And in high contrast, we see that.
Yeah.
He looks kind of old in this photo.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I guess technically this does happen, but in my head I was like, I guess Keith and Lennox are my bottom two, but I guess that is what the bottom two ends up being.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like Lennox's black and white one, but I just don't know if either of hers end up being guess appropriate. Well, Adams, you can use
the black and white one you could use.
Mm-hmm. But I think Keith does the worst job of selling the clothes.
Yes.
Even if Lennox is don't look like Guess ads, which
I still
want to
buy that.
That robe.
Yeah.
Or the earring.
Or the earring. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Keith isn't selling anything in either photo.
No.
But I want to look like Will.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no fan vote, no challenge.
Which is going to be represented on screen with zeros instead of just leaving it out. Why?
And well, that's better than shifting it, I guess. And no visible scores from the judges.
Yeah, because that's what you. Yeah. Yeah,
which makes this seem totally fabricated.
Because it is.
Yeah.
So, call out order. Adam gets a first call out with a 38.
Wild.
Which means there's only two possible ways he got that score.
Well, one thing is that also means that Usai is giving a score.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was like, 38, that's...
I also. That's more
I was
than...
like, what? How? But that means that someone gave him a 10. At least.
At least.
And actually, no...
No, it has to be two.
It has to be two,
right?
Yeah. And two nines.
At least two.
Or three tens and an eight or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's only two possibilities for how these scores.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes. Will is second with a 35.
What was Lennox saying to Will
when
Adam got first called out?
I die to know what she said when Adam
got
called.
I think she went, I'm going home.
Or just, what the fuck?
Or what the fuck?
Because they're shocked that Adam is succeeding.
Yeah, they saw the color photo.
Will gets a reasonable 35, which, again, I would have definitely made in my first call out. But
yeah, that seems low to me.
Yeah. And there's obviously a lot more combinations, but the reasonable ones are like 3 9s and an 8.
Yeah.
A 10, a 9, and a 7. You know, like...
I feel like you said probably gave him a 10.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was so. Probably... I wonder... Kelly? Yeah, it's either...
You saw I was trying this entire panel to get Keith to go home, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think if I was to be a betting man, I'd say it's probably either like a 10, 2 9s, and a 7 from Kelly, or a 10, a 9, and 2 8s. Mm. Is what I would probably guess.
Can you say if I was a betting man again?
If I was a betting man?
Ooh. Mm. You really pulled that off, Lex.
Thank you. I play straight more than I play gay.
Just in gambling scenarios, though.
Only. That's my tell. If I'm gay, they'll know.
You just get your cards and like, whoa.
Ooh, oh, my. I've got men on my cards and a queen who slays. Two queens? Can you imagine?
What is this, Trinity and Monet? Oh. Anyway, I have a pair.
It's Lennox versus Keith. There's no evaluation taking place, and it looks like Lennox knows she's going home.
For sure. Tyra also lies one more time and says, both of you are strong, but we only have one spot left. And I think we all know that everybody's going to be walking in this show.
Oh, yeah. Ivy's going to be walking in it.
I was going to say, they're all here. The only person not walking in this show, will be Jordan.
Lex, let me ask you, at this point, do you know the winner? Because I know you
said I do know the winner.
Okay. So this is fascinating to me because this is the end of the episode. We don't actually see who goes home. It's a cliffhanger. I was shocked. Knowing, and this is a spoiler for the winner, but at this point, you've probably figured it out. Keith wins this cycle, and it's fascinating to me that not only would they want him to be in the bottom two right now, but also you wouldn't do like a... It just would make so much more sense to keep Lennox around and have Will v. Lennox. Who's going to win between the two of them?
Yeah.
And Adam is your wild card
right. That's
in there for TV, honestly. And because Keith's not the best model, and he's not also interesting as a wild card.
No.
And he's not a fan favorite.
No. Neither is Adam, but...
It's really weird, and I can't believe we're going to have a top three. We'll talk about, I'm sure, more next episode. A top three of men. Like, Tyra actually constructed a situation...
Where a woman couldn't win.
Well, she couldn't award a Jordan type as the winner. Because that's the
thing. If Lennox made it to the final three, there was too big a chance that she could win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since we don't have an update, I thought it would be fun to close out this episode sharing the commercials. Because you can find 3 of 4 of them. And it is suspicious that the one you can't find is the lip model commercial.
Huh.
So,
wait, was that Lennox's?
That was Keith's.
Oh, right. Because she was volumizing lashes. And lengthening. Yeah.
She was smacking lashes.
So, you know, when
you finish your left eyeliner and it's all perfect, and you're like, okay, I got this. But then you get to your right eye and it's like, what the hell is this?
Oops! For your eyeliner mishaps, mess-ups, and mistakes, there's Oops Liner for that. Oops Liner is a dual-ended stick with black liquid eyeliner on one side and eyeliner corrector on the other that corrects your imperfections and sharpens your wingtips.
Eraser?
Yeah, girl.
Oops Liner! One side for your liner, one side for your oops.
Oops Liner. Available at Tyra.com.
So Kari is a finalist.
Yeah, so that was a Kari commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I have something to say to anybody who's trying to kill your dreams. People that say, you're not good enough. Join me in telling them to smack your flat, juicy, skinny, saggy, fat lash with Smack My Fat Lash Mascara. Mascaras either lengthen or thicken. Wouldn't it be great if your mascara did both? Well, Smack My Fat Lash Mascara has a secret 2-in-1 formula that you can see. The blue side thickens with nourishing micro hydra tubes for volume. The black side lengthens with 3D lash extension technology for la length. The black and the blue fuse together to create the fiercest black. I call it La Black.
smack my fat lash.
Wanna smack our fat lashes together?
You know you wanna. Smack it.
Smack My Fat Lash Mascara. Available at Tyra.com.
Without makeup, I would have never been a supermodel. Can I get a cheekbone? Anybody got a cheekbone?
I paint them on.
I give myself a tie over every single day. Now, it's your turn. You want sky-high cheekbones? Shaded, highlighted.
Introducing Sculpt in a Stick and Light in a Stick for all your contouring needs. Because it's oh so slick, quick, and easy to blend.
Slips on your skin like butter.
Each stick is infused with Tyglide technology, a fierceifying formula that features micronized pigments and moisturizing agents that glide on your skin like silk, making blending with your fingers easy, slick, and quick.
Get to sculpting.
Sculpt in a stick.
Light in a stick.
In a stick, in a stick, in a stick.
We can transform what we've got into what we want.
Sculpt, light, and cheek in a stick. Available at Tyra.com.
So here's the fascinating thing, because our listeners can't see the visual. So the first one is fully and entirely a Kari commercial.
Fully
yeah,
Kari.
Kari's a finalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is, I'm going to say, the best one of the three.
Yeah.
It's also the least Tyra-focused of the three.
Well, because sure no one else could is. Apparently speak in the commercials. Lennox is fully silent. Yeah.
Except for that one line.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Matthew and Ben are in the commercial more, switching their suits.
Especially Ben. Ben gets to also say the product name.
That running on the floor did not look good.
It looks really bad.
Also, it's weird that they changed Matthew's suit from blue to black.
Yeah, because it was blending together. So it was trying to say, don't worry, it won't be blue on your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, when they erased Adam from his own commercial.
Literally, listeners, it's Winnie and Adam, and they go, squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
And erase him. He's the oops.
He's the oops.
You don't see Will's abs at all.
Nope.
The only time you see Will is when he's talking with Ivy. Ivy's the star of that commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then
all of the fake science words in that last one, though.
When she says, in like the makeup dick, and I was like, it's a dick. And then micronized pigments,
fierceifying formula.
Also,
there was a third product in that ad that we didn't hear about.
Cheek in a stick.
Cheek in a stick.
At least it makes more sense that those are two products and not the extremely long name of one product.
Cheek in a stick sounds like beef jerky.
Yeah.
Ew.
Also, I know I found out that I think that cheek in a stick comes in the. It comes in the color sexy hot flash.
That last one is really the most unfortunate also, because Tyra looks way better before she uses the product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, there's an eye color called Once You Go Brown. But
she loves names like that.
She really does.
Also, the computer animated eyes, and when we showed the cheek in a stick, it was just a computer lady.
Yeah, for like
that
a
one
while.
Shot of Lennox where she's completely blurred out, and you just see the mascara tube.
These are bad.
But also, there was these weird moments in each of them, or at least two of the three, where Tyra made an actual mistake and they just leave it in. And the oops was actually funny because it was her, like, her shirt came up and she's like, oops, well, oops.
No, that one was good.
Because, yeah, it's oops.
But sculpt in a stick, light in a stick, why did we add the fuck up and the crew laughing?
Yeah. It's either got to be all casual or all professional. Those were so badly done.
And we will never see lip model. I could not find it.
Good on Kari for basically setting herself up some shots for her reel.
Jesus, Kari did the CoverGirl commercial. She delivered all of the copy.
Also, and a lot of the Where Are They Now, but didn't want to make it too spoilery earlier, most of the women in the cycle were just hired for Tyra Beauty. So honestly, they basically all won this because they also had to be in this.
And you get to leave with this much product.
But if you've left our podcast with a lot of fun, Yay. You should rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you, your ice takes. Nope. Your hot takes, your iced tea. You can reach out to us at podleader@gmail.com. Visit our website at podleanum.com or join our Discord. That's a fun place to be, especially near the end of the cycle. I feel like there gets to be like, so far there was like recapping about going back. Everyone's also listening to cycle 3. If you're listening to cycle 3, the Discord is the place to be.
Yay. And if you are celebrating, it's probably around the holiday times right now when this is being released. And just so everyone knows, the plan is, like we have been doing the last couple of cycles, we're going to also do finale part 2. And then we will do a little chit-chat, little in-between bonus episodes. And that those are both going to be fun because the three of us are planning to be in person for those.
So you get so that get ready energy. For
more loopy energy than ever.
Harder for Lex to edit.
Yay.
You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
I am on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm on TikTok at JW Crump. Okay.
And be sure to use the hashtag PodLeadUm anytime you do, because that's how we find you.
Mm-hmm. We and have you to find us. Sift through all the Willy Hunch. Willy Hunch.
Oh. So for PodLeadUm, I've been Lex Basile Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
PodLeadUm is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.